can hear me. If you can't, just go. I'm used to this in a lot of the churches that I go to. In fact, I was at Eastwood Baptist Ladies on Monday, and Jean Duckworth was going. Dinner lady voice. Give me your dinner lady voice. And I said, Jean, I ain't got it today. I'm sorry, I ain't got my dinner lady voice today. But praise God, it's the Holy Spirit who's preaching this morning. Before I forget, I've been asked by all of the churches that I minister in, because every time I go, I take the greetings from Langley Mill Baptist Church, because we're all family in Jesus, aren't we? And they all say at the end of the meeting, take our love and our blessing back to your church as well. So we're blessed. We're blessed by family throughout the Midlands. We're going to read together from God's Word. I was very tempted to read the whole chapter because it's an absolutely fabulous chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 33, but it does take a long time to read out loud. So if you're game, when you get home, have a good read of it. But this morning I'm going to read just the first verse to put it in context, and then I'm going to go to the last few verses at the end from verse 26. So that's Deuteronomy 33 verse 1, and then from verse 26 to the end, verse 29. Moses blesses the tribes. This is the blessing that Moses, the man of God, pronounced on the Israelites before his death. He said, and then we're over the page, which is page 214 in the church Bible. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rides on the heavens to help you, and on the clouds in his majesty. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will drive out your enemy before you, saying, destroy him. So Israel will live in safety alone. Jacob's spring is secure in a land of grain and new wine, where the heavens drop dew. Blessed are you, O Israel. Who is like you, a people saved by the Lord? He is your shield and helper and your glorious sword. Your enemies will cower before you, and you will trample down their high places. We praise God for the truth and the power of his word that challenges and changes us every day as we allow it. Now, for a moment, just try and picture the scene that's described for us in this last chapter of Deuteronomy here. All the children of Israel, that's hundreds of thousands of Israelites, all with their personal possessions, cattle, sheep, chickens, folded up tents, cooking utensils, a bit like Jenny just before we go on a camping trip. Don't tell her I said that. You'll hear her in a minute saying, yeah, that's right. All of these are gathered together on the banks of the River Jordan. They've got everything with them, probably except the kitchen sink. Only Jenny and I take that with us when we go camping. But there they are on the river, the bank of the River Jordan, ready to finally cross over into the Promised Land. Now, it's only taken them 40 years of wandering through the desert to get there. I wonder how they would have been feeling. What thoughts would have been racing through their minds at this time? They're standing on the very threshold of a brand new era in their own lives as individuals and in the life of their community. They know that Moses, their beloved leader, won't be going with them. How did they feel about that? He's already handed over leadership to his successor, Joshua. Everything is ready for them to move out across the river. But just before they go, Moses makes his final speech to them. His retirement speech, if you like. He wants to say goodbye to them, tribe by tribe, to speak God's blessing over them all before they leave. Now, it isn't exactly a short speech. What he has to say to them would have lasted for several hours. It certainly takes up a whole chapter in the book of Deuteronomy. But right in the middle of it all, he makes an absolutely amazing statement that we could almost miss if we happened to blink or cough or sneeze at the wrong time. In amongst Moses' many, many words that day, he drops in this gem of wisdom and spiritual truth. He says in Deuteronomy 33, verse 27, "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Just think about that phrase for a minute. The everlasting arms. What a strange adjective for Moses to use in describing these arms, don't you think? He could have used much more inspiring, encouraging adjectives, especially considering that it's God's arms he's describing here. He could have said the all-powerful arms, or the strong and invincible arms. But no, they're very simply everlasting. Now, I reckon that whenever we hear or read the word everlasting, we tend to think of it in terms of the future, don't we? In the sense of never ending or going on forever and ever and ever, always way up ahead of us somewhere. But you know, the word everlasting also reaches way back into the past and reminds us that those almighty everlasting arms of God have already been in business for hundreds and hundreds of years before now, holding, protecting, caring for generation upon generation of his spiritual children right up until the here and now. I mean, whose arms do you think were around the once fearful and stammering Moses whenever he challenged mighty Pharaoh to set God's people free? Whose arm do you think was around his shoulders, encouraging him and supporting him as he led them through the wilderness all those years? Because they weren't easy, were they? All their complaining, their moaning, their disobedience. Then whose arms do you think protected Joshua and his soldiers as they conquered the giants that stood in the way of them actually entering the promised land and making it their own? Whose arms had comforted and strengthened Joseph for all those years in his lonely prison cell before he was released and then became deputy prime minister of the whole of Egypt? Whose arms do you think shielded Daniel in the lion's den and held their hungry mouths shut so they didn't tear him apart and have him for dinner? Whose arms fanned those flames away from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace so they weren't reduced to a pile of ash and bones? Whose arms do you think held poor, distraught Hannah as she wept much and prayed in that temple in Shiloh, pouring out her aching soul to God before he granted her the desire of her heart, her very own son, Samuel? She had three other boys and two girls afterwards. Whose arms shielded David, a man after God's own heart, as Satan and his demons tried to destroy him through Saul's jealousy that eventually turned to insanity? Whose arms do you think held up poor, confused Gideon? And let me tell you, somebody would have had to hold me up if I'd been Gideon, when he was told to reduce the size of his army from 22,000, yep, that's 1,000, to a mere 300, that's 300 men, who weren't even allowed to carry weapons with them when they went into battle against hundreds of thousands, yep, hundreds of thousands of Midianites and whose arms actually gave them tremendous victory over them. I wonder, are we getting God's very simple but powerful message to us this morning? Let's encourage ourselves even more. Coming into the New Testament, whose arms reached down and pulled poor, sinking Peter into that storm-tossed fishing boat? Whose arms do you think comforted, strengthened, and encouraged Jesus himself in the Garden of Gethsemane when he had to make the most difficult and important decision ever? A decision that wouldn't just affect his own life, but the life of every person that has ever drawn breath. Your life, my life. When he decided to go ahead and die a horrific and excruciatingly painful death for the salvation of mankind. And then during the terrible hours that lay ahead of him, when he was arrested and put on trial, when he had to listen to false witnesses blatantly telling lies about him, when he was publicly humiliated, viciously beaten by the Romans before they finally executed him as a common criminal. During this time, this terrible time, men may have let him down when they fell asleep instead of praying with him, when they betrayed him, denied him, and then deserted him. But you know, those everlasting arms of God never let him down. They were there for him, bearing him up, giving him courage, determination, absolute strength of mind and will. And then to make sure that we can really embrace God's message today, whose arms do you think were finally stretched out on that cross when Jesus, only Son of eternal God, gave himself to be punished in our place? When he paid the awful price for our sin? And whose almighty arms reached out to help Jesus roll that enormous stone away from the mouth of that borrowed tomb, so that he could step out alive and well again on that wonderful resurrection morning that we're all going to be celebrating in just a few weeks' time? You know, there's certainly no doubt in my mind that the amazing, almighty arms of God are totally reliable and trustworthy. How many people can we say that about nowadays? They faithfully and firmly held, comforted, cared for, protected generation upon generation of his children in the past. And you know, they'll also still be there ministering to those of us who've put our personal faith and trust in Jesus in the future and beyond. Why? Because as the writer to the Hebrews tells us, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, I look forward to the day, though I do hope it's a long time in coming, because I've still places to go, people to meet, a life-changing message to share. But I look forward to the day when I'll leave this weak and sometimes weary body behind me. And those amazing, everlasting arms of God will come and carry my immortal spirit off into eternity to live with him forever. Because that was his promise to me almost 50 years ago when I first put my own childlike faith and trust in Jesus for salvation. And every day since then, I've committed myself, body, mind, soul, spirit, into his care and keeping in that same childlike faith and trust. And he's never let me down, nor will he ever. Why not? Because the eternal God is my and your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Well, that's the past, and hopefully the distant future taken care of. But what about our daily here and now? Well, God's word tells us that whatever we need day by day from God, our Heavenly Father, is already available to us through our committed and obedient personal relationship with Christ. Those amazing arms of God are already held out to us, ready and very willing to release into our lives, in Jesus' name, whatever we might need from him, according to his divine plan and purposes for our lives, of course. We simply have to learn how to ask humbly in that all-powerful name, and then to receive in faith with a grateful, thankful heart. You know, a mere 42 days ago, that's 6 weeks ago, all of us stood on the threshold of a brand new year, a brand new era, perhaps, in God, in our individual lives as Christians, a brand new era in God, perhaps, in the life of this church. Today, we've crossed over that threshold just as surely as those Israelites crossed over the Jordan into the promised land and everything that was waiting for them there. So what might be facing each of us and this church community on our spiritual journey in 2018? Well, for some, there will no doubt be new challenges and circumstances to be faced and embraced in faith. New choices and changes to be made. New temptations to be fought and overcome. New spiritual battles to be won in Christ. More faith-filled commitment, teeth-gritting determination and courage to be found in God along the way. For others, there might be new lessons in faith to be learned, new supernatural adventures to be experienced, miraculous moments to be enjoyed and shared, more heartwarming, soul-stirring memories to be made and stored away forever. Some of us will find waiting up ahead for us this year new roles and responsibilities in life, for which we'll need new outpourings of divine power and practical resources to help us meet these for the glory of Jesus. On a positive note, for all of us, there will be new blessings to be enjoyed, new perspective to be gained, new achievements and accolades to be celebrated in God for his glory. Whatever might be lying in wait for us on our journey of faith this year, let's refuse in Jesus to be overwhelmed. Let's continue instead to allow the Holy Spirit to inspire, encourage, empower us through Moses' awesome words in this morning's focus verse. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Let's always remember how our unchanging, never diminishing God has already actively outworked their power-filled truth during past conflicts, past challenges in our lives. And let's go on seeking and trusting him for even greater success and victory in the days and months to come. Now, I'm going to end now by reading the words of a song, a special song to me, about God, our eternal refuge, and his everlasting arms. The verses describe some of the challenging circumstances that we all have to face at certain times in our Christian lives. But the chorus always declares the same spiritual truth, that whenever we reach out in faith to eternal God, especially if he's our only refuge, we find whatever we need in the everlasting arms. As I read, why not make the words of this chorus your own personal prayer, inviting God to meet your needs in him today and in the months and year ahead. He loves us so much and he wants only the very best for us and through us in Jesus. The song is called very simply John's Song. When my heart is sad and my spirits low, when my weary shoulders sag, I know just where to go, and I go to the eternal God. He's my refuge, my only refuge, to the eternal God, and find peace in the everlasting arms. When the road is rough and my progress slow, when I feel like giving up, I know just where to go, and I go to the eternal God. He's my refuge, my only refuge, to the eternal God, where I rest in the everlasting arms. When the battle's harsh and relentless is my foe, when my strength is fading fast, I know just where to go, and I go to the eternal God. He's my refuge, my only refuge, to the eternal God, and take shelter in the everlasting arms. When my body's weak and I feel so old, when I'm in pain so much I can't speak, I know just where to go, and I go to the eternal God. He's my refuge, my only refuge, to the eternal God, and find comfort in the everlasting arms. Then at this journey's end, when my life is nearly through, with my final failing breath, may I be singing as I go. For I'll go to the eternal God. He's my refuge, my only refuge, to the eternal God, to dwell forever in the everlasting arms. And I'll sing praise to the eternal God. He's my refuge, my only refuge. Praise to the eternal God. I'm safe forever in his everlasting arms. Praise God.